Good morning to each one of you here this morning. I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We've been spending a lot of time in Ephesians, learning to really appreciate this book. Seems every time I go back, there's just more and more that I see that I can grow in. I've titled my message this morning, Growing in Christ. And I've got a feeling this is going to be part one. I think there's going to be more to this than what I have here this morning. I want to just touch a little bit this morning on growing in Christ, maybe the beginning of maturity. Our focus this morning is how do I grow in maturity? Let's read in Ephesians 4, verse 13 through 16. He says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I'm going to need a glass of water. Thank you. We've been looking at Ephesians chapter 4. And the last time I shared, we talked about unity. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith. And he talks there about a perfect man. A man that is mature. A man that has grown closer to what God is asking of him. And that's where we want to go this morning. None of us here this morning were created to not grow. I was thinking I need some kind of an object lesson this morning, something we can look at, and I didn't bring anything. But a little bit ago, a young lady came to me, and she brought me something for our object lesson this morning. I have here a tiny little acorn. Somebody tell me what that acorn is going to produce someday. A mighty oak. Not just an oak tree, but a mighty oak. We are this tiny, tiny little acorn. God wants to take this tiny acorn and He wants to make something out of it. For who? For myself? No. He wants this acorn to produce something for Himself. And I think that's so many times where I go wrong. I want to mature in Christ, but really I want to mature for myself. Because it makes me look good, because I have a lot of answers for others when they ask questions. He wants the honor. He wants the glory. He takes that little acorn and He makes it to grow. We have a picture here this morning, growing in Christ. We see the soil there. This acorn is taken and it's planted. What if it is just left laying in this soil? There is no rain. There's no sunshine. What's going to happen to the acorn? Is there going to be a tree? Not going to be anything. I'm getting ahead of myself here a little bit. Paul says here in Philippians 3:12, he says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend for that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Thank you. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and I want us to catch this next part. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I've used that verse different times already, and I'm not at the end of it yet. Paul didn't stay where He was. We are not to stay where we're at. We are to progress, to keep on growing in Christ. I'd like to take these couple verses here that we read and just break down just a little bit, and we're going to go to a different scripture to spend some more time in. Verse 14, he says, "Be no more children." And I look at that as immature adults. Children, we love you. We have nothing against children this morning. We need you. But he says, "Be no more children," in the idea that we are immature. We need to grow. We can take a child. They've got their heart set on something. The child doesn't want to have his mind changed so easy. What does it take to change a child's heart, a child's mind? Piece of candy. If I have a piece of candy, I can normally change a child's direction. If one of my children has their minds made up when they were just really young, 2 or 3. They had their mind made up on something. I could change that with candy or with a good promise. They're happy to do what we ask if we give them something sweet. First Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men." He says they're tossed. When I think of tossed, in verse 14 there, "that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro," I have to think of a kite. It's really frustrating when we take a kite and we turn it loose and we run with it and the kite goes way up. That's beautiful, but what's really frustrating is when there's a downdraft. All of a sudden the kite starts spiraling and down it comes into the ground. That's what I think he's picturing here. Everything that comes along, we're wishy-washy. We take this thing and we take that thing. We're not solid. He says, that's not how we're supposed to be. "Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men." And here I want to give us a warning. Our world is loaded with false prophets today. I would like to picture that the false prophets are all out there. But he says, be careful. I don't want to point at anybody in here this morning and say, you are a false prophet, because I don't believe you are. But I want us to be very careful. Matthew 7:15 says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing." That doesn't look like they're out there. That looks like they're right here amongst us. Let's be careful. Let's be careful. I feel like I'm pointing fingers this morning. I'm not. Because I cannot point at you here this morning and say we have false prophets amongst us, because I don't feel that. But let's be careful. I believe the closer we get to the end, the more we might see this. "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." How am I going to know them? By their fruits. We're going to know them by their fruits. Seems like these couple of verses here, Paul is warning us against immaturity. He's asking us to be strong, to be mature in the Word. He's asking us to be discerning, knowing good from evil. He's asking us to be stable. I had to think of this song, "We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. Fastened to the rock which cannot move, ground up firm and deep in my Savior's love." Verse 15, it talks about speaking the truth in love. Something so often that we as believers miss. We want to take the truth out to those that are lost. It's so much easier to point a finger at somebody than it is to love them. Let's grow in that. Let's grow in love. We're going to stop there. I want us to move on to the next scripture. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. I want to spend some time here. As we grow closer to the Lord, we are growing more distant from the world. Filthiness within our hearts. To be active is not just to let things happen. We don't grow by just letting things happen. It takes work. But He wants us to grow, to be mature, to be healthy. I have to think of this little tiny little oak here. In San Antonio, right in the center of town, right by the Alamo, there are some oak trees there that are huge. The limbs are so huge as they're going out across, they're actually put props underneath them to hold them so they don't break off. Limbs that are huge enough to be a tree in themselves. Somebody estimated they're probably about 400 years old. Beautiful, beautiful oaks. How did they get there? Not overnight. But they grew. They were fed. I want to look at three things this morning that are really important for us to grow in Christ, for us to mature. And you might find some other things, and I found a whole lot of things in the continuing scripture where we're going to go to later on. But just three things here that we want to look at really quick. Things that are important for us to mature. The first one I want to look at is we need to have food. This spring, our family went to a store over in Three Rivers. Family home, I'm not sure what it's called. But we wanted to get some chicks. So we took a little box and we put a dozen chicks in there, hoping they're all hens. But we took them home. I cut some boxes and I taped them together. I made a nice little place for them to live in. We put a heat lamp into it. I could have put some food and water in there. And I could have told those tiny little chicks, I'm going to come back in about a month and I'm going to check on you. You better have grown. What would I have found when I came back? Dead chicks. Sorry, Mark. Don't want to bring back some bad feelings here. I would have found some dead chicks. Instead, I had a goal for those chicks. My goal was, I'm going to feed them, I'm going to give them water, I'm going to give them balanced feed so they can grow. I want eggs. And you know, that's exactly what happened, with the exception of the four roosters that showed up. So if anybody needs roosters, let me know. But they grew, they matured, and they produced. He says here, actually, I haven't even turned there yet. Let me turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. The first three verses. He says here, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." We need food. Look at verse 2. He says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. I understand. We are supposed to go on to where we are on meat, solid foods. But at this point, he's saying, I want you to have a desire as newborn babes. Mothers, you with young children, with little babies, when they get hungry, they let you know. There's a desire there for food. They scream. A hungry scream. They cry. Scream might be too strong a term. Maybe not. I'm guessing your mother say there's days that it sounds like that. But he says here, as newborn babes, desire. Let me ask you this morning, and I'm asking myself this too. How strong is my desire to feed on the Word of God? Do I really have a desire to feed? If we're going to be honest with each other this morning, I think we're going to admit that there's some other desires that enter in when it comes time for devotions. Our personal time with the Lord. There's some other things that enter in that sometimes are just a little bit easier, a little more desirable. He wants us to have a desire to eat of the Word. Am I desiring to be fed with the words of God? Spiritual food. This baby longs for milk. There's a hunger inside that can actually become painful. Is my desire so strong to grow that I might even have a physical pain inside? I'm not saying this happens, but can it happen? I don't know. But we can have a pain for the Word of Christ. Maybe we call that a spiritual pain. Where we are so hungry, we're just desiring. Dads, let me talk to you dads for a second. I'm a dad. Am I having family devotions with my family? It's your responsibility to bring your families, you and your wife both, but it's your responsibility as leader in the home to bring the Word of God into the home so the children can grow up knowing the Word. Don't expect your pastors to do all of this. We can't. We can preach here from Sunday to Sunday, but we're just not going to cover all that. Dads, you're responsible. You're the leaders in the home. Take that responsibility to heart. Bring the Word of God into the home and feed your kids. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "And you shall teach them with your children." He's talking about the words, the laws. "You shall teach them to your children, talking of them wherever you are." I'm sorry. "Talking of them where, when you are sitting in your own home." I wrote this in a book, can't read it. "When you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way, when you lie down and when you rise." That doesn't give you a whole lot of opportunity not to get into the Word. Share the Word with your families, with your children. We should crave for it. We should long for it. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "The words were found, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart." Sincere milk, he says. He calls it sincere milk, not just milk. Sincere milk. In verse 2, pure milk. I love to read. I have different books going at the same time because I love to read. That's kind of a hobby of mine. You have your hobbies, that's mine. I love to read. But I want us to be cautious this morning. There's so many good books out there. But there's also some books that are very deceptive. If you're not sure, ask somebody. Go back to the Word. Match up the book with the Word. See if it produces what the Word is saying. But I love to read. That's one of my hobbies. Am I teaching? Am I reading sound doctrine? Is it the pure Word of God? I challenge us to think about that as we read things other than Scripture. It needs to match with Scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:5 says, "Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos water, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." Something we need to remember. We are going to study, we're going to grow as much as we can, or eat what we can to grow, but God is the one that causes us to grow. But it's how much we learn, how much we get into the Word, as to how much that He can allow us to grow. Do I have an appetite? There's two things wrong if I don't have an appetite. If I go through life in my physical life, and all of a sudden it's just like I don't want to eat, there's two things that are wrong. One is I'm either sick, and the other one I guess can't be as I go through life because I'm dead. I'm either dead or I'm sick. Let's compare that to spiritual life. Do I have an appetite? Do I have an appetite for the holy things of the Word, the things of God? If I don't, I need to check what's happening. Is there something in my life? Is there a sickness? Or am I dead? I think we need to face that. Where are we at in our walk? Are we alive? Are we struggling because we're sick? Are we dead? Are we flourishing? Are we growing? Surround yourselves with ways of taking in Scripture. We have our little bitty devices that we carry around. it's so easy to turn Scripture on. We got the little headsets we can use. We can listen to Scripture. You're driving down the road, there's many, many things you can listen to that are good. I love to, when I'm mowing the yard, I put a headset on and I listen to good stuff. We can grow as we're going about throughout our day. The second thing we want to look at is there are some things that we need to lay aside. Let's go back to verse 1. He says, "Wherefore, lay aside all malice." We're going to touch on these real quick. Some things that we have to lay aside if we're going to grow. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Lay aside every weight, every burden that we have. Let's find a place to take care of that. 1 Peter 5:7 says, "Casting all your care on Him, for He careth for you." Let's lay aside those weights, those burdens, the sins. Let's take the sins, take them to the cross. Let's have them removed so we can run that race. The first one he talks about here is malice. And malice is, I guess, just not in us in general. It's a wickedness, evil behavior. And it's also a desire to cause injury to a brother. Let's be careful. The next one he lists is guile, which is deceit or craftiness or trickery. Think about a fish hook. We want to catch that fish, so we take the hook and we bait it with the worm, and we actually try to cover up that hook sometimes so it looks good, so we can catch a fish. That's the idea here of guile. It looks good, but it could end in injury or it could end in death. That's something we have to lay aside. Hypocrisies. Self-explanatory, pretending to be somebody or something that we're not. Envies is jealousy, desiring what somebody else has and then maybe feeling ill against them for having what you don't have. Then he says, all evil speakings, unkind speech, hurting others with our words. That's a serious one. We can hurt others for life with what we say. Let's be careful of that. Colossians 3:8 says, "But now you also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth." Then James 1:21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls." So how many of these things do I need to lay aside? All of them. Holding on to sin will not promote growth. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." We cannot be acceptable to God if we have sin in our hearts. And may I say, especially secret sin. Nobody else knows about it. I want us to think about this acorn for a little bit again. Looks like a good acorn. Looks like it could really produce. But if you look closer, you can't see it from back there probably, but if I look really closer, there are two holes in this acorn. What's that tell you? It's dead. I'm guessing there were some worms in here. If we're going to harbor sin in our life, if we're going to hold sin in our life, we're not going to be successful. We're not going to be able to grow. And I want to back up and I want to say something with this. As we grow, the Holy Spirit continually comes to us and cleanses us. And there are sins that we didn't know we had that the Holy Spirit will reveal to us. I want us to understand that. And when that happens, then we need to take it to the cross. When we choose to not remove all sin, our desire or our appetite is going to die. How serious is that? If I hang on to those sins, eventually my appetite is going to die. Something that my mom has in the front of her Bible. It says, this Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this Bible. I had to think of the story of Ananias and Sapphira. We're not going to go there. But the whole thing of making it look like it was good, look like they were giving everything that they sold to the church, holding back a little bit. God dealt with them instantly. There was physical death instantly. We cannot toy with sin and expect that we're going to continue to grow. We have to remove to walk with the Father. The third and last thing I want to look at here in growing in maturity is our eyes are going to be focused on our Redeemer. We're going to see the goodness of God. Psalm 34:8 says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. O taste and see. The verse that we have in 1 Peter says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. We've tasted it. The baby has tasted the mother's milk. It wants more. We have tasted of the gospel. We have tasted His goodness. We see His goodness. That doesn't make us want to walk away. It makes us want more. We want to come back again and again to be satisfied daily. If we've been born again, we have been given a new life in Christ, and we need food. We need to grow. We will see the goodness of God. I want you to turn to Psalm 23. A very, very familiar psalm. I want to read this and we'll close with this psalm this morning. I want to make some comments as I go through this. And as we read this psalm, I want you to think about the goodness of God. We're going to picture ourselves as a sheep. David was a shepherd. He knew all about shepherding. And when he wrote this, he had a picture, I believe, of who the Father was. He says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Again, remembering the goodness of God. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David knew what it was to be amongst all the sheep. He was their shepherd. He stepped between them and death. Our Father steps between us and death. He's there to fight for us. He is our shepherd. It says, I shall not want. He takes care of all our needs. He protects us. The goodness of God. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Where they had their sheep back in the Bible times when David was a shepherd, if I understand correctly, there was a lot of areas where there was sand probably. There were rocks. One of the articles I read said the rocks were probably hot enough that you probably couldn't touch them with your bare feet. You wanted to be careful. It wasn't a pretty, real pretty picture. But occasionally there were outcroppings of rocks that would come out from the side of the hill, and underneath those rocks was cool grass. Can you picture us going through life? Life isn't always pretty. There are some things that are rough for us. But the Father provides a place for us to rest. He provides green grass for us to lay down in. He leadeth me beside the still waters where we can drink the goodness of God. He restoreth my soul. I don't know what happens in our lives. I don't know what happens to each one of you throughout the week. I know I face things that just kind of tear me apart inside. If we're going to be honest, there's things that we face. We almost want to turn our backs and run sometimes. But He restoreth our soul. He's there for us. He will help us through those times. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. What did those sheep face? If there were lions, if there were bears, if they had to walk through a narrow area and there were stones that they could hide behind, you never knew what was going to hop out from behind those stones. says, I will fear no evil. Do I have that much confidence in my Savior? When I come to a difficult time in life, that I know He's there. I will fear no evil. The goodness of God. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. I want us to think about something this morning. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. When we think about the rod and the staff, I've been told many times that when a shepherd got angry or maybe decided one of his sheep has been wandering off, he breaks a leg and brings it back. I did a lot of research on that, and I believe that is false. If you've seen that and you say that is so, I will leave it with you with that. But I do not see my Savior disabling me to keep me in the fold. But there's something else that He does love, or that He does. He loves us. Now friends, I also understand when we sin, deliberately sin, and we walk away. Yeah, there is part where Jesus does some things. Excommunication is one of them. But I believe He loves us. I believe He loves us. This whole thing of breaking a leg. The article that I read was that He will break our leg and then He will carry us for weeks at a time. Please don't misunderstand me. I don't want to go in the wrong direction here. Those that the Lord loves, He chastens. But I don't believe He chastens for the fun of chastening. Fathers, as dads, you have children. Do you take your children from time to time and just give them a whipping because they need it? Just for fun? No, I don't believe so. I don't want us to get the idea this morning that Lynn thinks that God is never angry. There is a righteous indignation, I believe. There is an anger against sin. But I want us to be very careful this morning in thinking that every so often we just get a spanking for the idea we get a spanking. You might disagree with me here. I'll love you anyhow. But let's go back here to verse 4 again. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Now let's change the picture just a little bit. We've been a sheep here. He's been our shepherd. Now we change a little bit. Now He's our server. We are being served in His presence. Look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Now we're seated at the table, and He's serving us. Isn't that our God? He came to the earth to serve the goodness of God. Where do I fit into this whole picture? Let's go a little further here. He said, Thou anointest my head with oil. I learned something new looking at this. In the Bible times, when somebody came into a home to eat, if they were wealthy, if they were well known, the one who was serving them would come up with some oil, perfumed oil, expensive oil, and they would anoint their head with oil. Where does that place us in this Scripture? We have been created to serve our Maker, to honor Him, to love Him. He's anointing our head with oil. I don't know what that means to you. But that tells me that my God loves me. Enough that He went to the cross and died for me. And now He's pouring oil on my head. Is it the oil of gladness? I'm not sure what all this oil is. But He anoints my head with oil. My cup runneth over. My cup of blessings. When I face issues in life, He didn't give me a half a cup. It's running over. He has given me everything. The goodness of God. Then we come to verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. forever. The goodness of God. I'm not sure where you're at in your walk this morning. Do you have a hunger? Are you growing in your maturity? Or is there no maturity happening? I challenge you with that this morning. Let's walk this week in a way that will honor Him. The decisions that I make this week are going to affect where I'm at in 10 years from now, 5 years, 2 years. They're going to affect where I'm at. What kind of choices am I making? Am I hungry for God? Would you stand with me this morning as we pray? Father, we bless You this morning. We thank You for being our shepherd. Thank You, Father, this morning for loving us enough to die for us and then to anoint us and to bless us to where our cups run over. We honor You and we bless You this morning. You are holy. And we ask, Lord, that You would help us to walk in a way that is honorable to You. Lord, we ask for a hunger for the Word, that we would grow, Father, to be closer to You. I believe Your return is soon, Father. Would You help us to make decisions, Lord, that will benefit Your kingdom? Would You dismiss us now with Your blessing in Your name? We pray, Amen.